On the wrong side of Tinseltown, only BFM's man on the street knows where to go for the real scoop. It's Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.
Wow, Fabian Fanboy, good morning to you. Last week we the area where you live was rocked by a shooting at a local bar. And now you're in amongst the worst fires that that LA's ever seen. How are you? Are you okay?
I'm fine, thanks, Mike. safe distance from the fires, although I am moving to kind of near where that shooting was, so that's a worry. But yeah, last weekend was very surreal. The sky was an ashen grey. There was that smell of your neighbour having a bonfire permeating the air, and it was kind of apocalyptic. But most importantly and most devastatingly, the Kardashians cancelled their...
I knew that was going to happen! I knew they'd pull the fire card. Oh.
So that was the day it all kicked off. They got evacuated from their Calabasas home, and so they did not turn up to the E! Press Day, and so all the journalists there were like, oh, well, I guess that's a pretty good excuse. I guess we'll have to make do with Hollywood medium Tyler Henry.
Can you tell me what... Are you in a position where you can tell me what you genuinely believe about Hollywood medium Tyler Henry?
I'm prepared to give you my full truth on it. I think he's full of shit.
I think he's so full of shit. It's unbelievable that show's even a thing. But just like he starts off and his assistants send him off somewhere, but because he doesn't know who they are, because he doesn't watch TV. And he doesn't like in every
it's
single
the scribbling
thing.
That really annoys me. He sits there scribbling on a piece of paper. That's like his process.
Yeah.
And and then he just
Same.
Starts running through the alphabet.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh J. So there was someone whose name was John. Oh,
I get it.
I realised, though, that he looks kind of like a young
Macaulay Culkin.
Buzz Lightyear in a weird way.
Oh, you think?
People always say Macaulay Culkin. He's got a weird Buzz Lightyear quality to him.
Hey, speaking of Buzz Lightyear, did I see a trailer for the new Toy Story movie?
Yeah, Toy Story 4, that trailer's out.
Okay, all right. Prepare myself for that. I really enjoy Toy Story. Yeah, love it. I used to have a 9.5-foot tall Buzz Lightyear.
Toy Story 3 was such an amazing film that it was so much better than it had any right to be.
Yeah.
I almost feel like...
It was meta. It was a meta film.
I'm very pragmatic about sequels and remakes and all that stuff. I'm like, look, that's the way it goes. It's Hollywood. It's all about the execution. But there was something so final about the end of Toy Story 3. You just kind of go, well, where are they? Where can they go after that?
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah. I just hope that they don't try and go more extreme.
I bet you.
I really like the first one. You know, the first one's really cute.
The thing that blew my mind about Toy Story 3 was that every movie in that ever existed is trying to get you to believe that its hero might die, and you almost never believe it. You never think Indiana Jones is going to get run over or shot or anything. The whole pretense of those films is, look at the amazing peril this guy's in. Will he get out?
It's like Batman. It's like
the end of Toy Story.
Yeah. It's like what will happen after this? Yeah.
The trash.
Oh
thing.
Jesus!
I was like,
don't even think about it. I don't want to think about it. It's terrifying. They're going to burn these characters.
I steeled myself for that eventuality. I thought, well, that's it. They're going to die. I guess that's the way the cookie crumbles. I couldn't believe the film got me to believe that.
Now, you're a grown man, and the thing is, this is the thing I worried about at the time. I thought, I'm a grown man, and I'm getting the heebie-jeebs here. And God knows what a 7-year-old or 10-year-old's thinking of it.
Yeah.
You know, when one's imagination is all over the shop. Yeah.
Yeah. So look how much our generation's character was shaped by the traumatic films of our youth. The Watership Downs, the Return to Oz's. Even bloody Escape to Witch Mountain freaked the shit out of me.
You remember Australian movie called Storm Boy about some pelicans?
Oh yeah,
I cried at that when I was a little kid.
Ooh. They remade that recently
with pelicans.
Yeah, I haven't seen the remake, that was the kind of
then we talked about that once.
That
maybe
they would have photos from Storm Boy in the school journal.
Yeah. The bit where the pelican died in the school journal. Yeah.
Or in the latest issue of Jabberwocky. Do you remember Jabberwocky?
Yeah. Ooh. I do. What an amazing outlet for creative writing that was. Hey, we're going to run out of time. We need to talk about movies and entertainment. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, quickly. You Were Never Really Here is a film that comes out this week in New Zealand. I believe this played at the New Zealand Film Festival, so I'm sure a lot of people have seen it. But it's really, really good. It's Joaquin Phoenix.
So good.
Playing kind of a post-traumatic stress sufferer who kind of undertakes a mission of vengeance, and it's kind of it's almost like you take something like Taken and turn it into a weird art house kind of just get under your skin movie. The director Lynn Ramsey made We Need to Talk About Kevin, which I think is one of the most amazing films of the last few decades. This lives up to that. It's down and dirty and brutal, but and kind of icky and gross at times too, but yep. I really loved it.
I loved it too. And you know what I loved about it? I loved the way it sort of started and then finished, and it wasn't a huge tale. Just so, you know, you don't really know what happened before, you don't really know what happens after. It's just like, it's a happening, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you almost don't even really know what happens during. Like, it's one of those films where it presents ambiguities that you're not sure if you can believe what you see half the time, you know? But I loved it. Also out this week is Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, which is better than Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which was the last one. Yep. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them felt like a glass display at an industry trade show for Harry Potter merchandise. It was like, look at all these other characters and creatures we've got. Think of the licensing possibilities. Crimes of Grindelwald feels like it's got more of a purpose for existing. It's a bit more propulsive. Jude Law as young Dumbledore. I like Jude Law. He hasn't quite had the career he was expected to have, but he's still coasting on Talented Mr. Ripley goodwill from me, as far as I'm concerned. And, I kind of like the new Fantastic Beasts. Not amazing.
Also, Lillian loved it. Lillian just came running in, just with a pink T-shirt and excited.
Hello. I really enjoyed the film also.
Are you a Potterphile?
He's asking, are you a Potterphile?
Yes, I am.
Yes, she is. Yeah. She's even forgotten how to do the radio.
Okay, can I ask you this then?
I don't have any headphones, but now I do, and I can hear you, and...
you can hear me now? Okay.
Yes.
At the screening I went to, there were a bunch of, like, they brought a whole lot of, like, internet Potter-type people, and I was asking some of them this. Can you answer this question? Among hardcore Potter fans, does Fantastic Beasts kind of count? Is it as important as Harry Potter, or does it feel like a cash-in? Are you as invested in the journey of Newt Scamander, or does it just sort of feel like additional stuff?
Okay, all right, bear with me on this one. I've been going around telling everyone it is the new Harry Potter film because it is linked to the series. I think there is not as much of an investment because it isn't the same story. We're going back in time. There are no books. Often we have books to refer to when we see these films, so this is kind of like troubling because we have to rely on just people making things up and guessing. But for me, it's just accepted that for the rest of my life, even though this is just a big money-making thing, they're making five films, I will go and see the films. It's just accepted.
That's
going to be part of my life.
There were going to be five. I mean, five.
Can I jump in here, Fabian, and and say that I'm not at all aware of the Harry Potter. I don't know sort of who it is, but I've never read the book. I've never seen a movie, and I'm starting to wonder whether maybe I'm like those people that I look. But the people I meet, okay, what, you've never seen Star Wars? What do you mean you've never seen Star Wars? What are you talking about?
I think so.
You think so? Really?
Yeah. I think
really? Is it really? I mean,
I'm ready for five films. I'm ready for five films
schools.
Of breaking down the relationship between Dumbledore and Gellert Grindelwald. Yeah. I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
Okay. There's your answer.
The most salient point I read about this film, I think it was from the AV Club review, where the guy said that this is a film where the biggest plot twists are dramatic pronouncements of people's surnames.
You have to keep the secret.
Okay, thank you, Fabian.
But no, it's not even that. I mean, just all throughout the movie, it's like, Dumbledore. Oh, that's young Dumbledore.
Oh, she's like, no, stop now.
I'm shaking my head.
The body language is gone. The body language is gone. Super clenched.
And Zoe Kravitz's character comes up and her name is Strange. I've heard that name.
Yeah,
before.
That's true. That's true.
It's coasting on goodwill a little bit.
Although, but this is the thing, is it? Because we know that it's the past, and it's building a background for us. But okay, it's great to chat. It was great to chat.
Thank you, news director Lillian. News is going to be late now because of that. But
okay, thanks.
But very quickly, my friend, anything else?
The Old Man and the Gun, which is a film directed by David Lowery, who's a really awesome filmmaker. Who is about to shoot another film in New Zealand. He previously shot Pete's Dragon. He said, I think he was just down there.
Oh, okay, yep.
He made a fantastic movie that came out there last year called A Ghost Story, which everyone should see. And The Old Man and the Gun is his latest film. It's got Robert Redford. Apparently, it's his final movie.
Oh, dear. Now, very quickly, Stan Lee.
Very sad. Stan Lee was a huge presence in my life. I wrote him a letter when I was 14. He didn't reply, the son of a bitch. No.
But he sort of replied using his medium, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't.
Let me ask you this: are you a fan?
Am I a fan
of his work?
Marvel kid to the max.
Then he replied to your letter. Then in a sense, he replied to your letter. Instead of wasting time writing back to some kid from New Zealand, he just made cool stuff that you loved.
He basically created the pop culture world we live in today. So.
Shout out Stanley. All right. Hey, you be careful of those fires, friend.
Thanks. I think it's calming down a bit now.
I thought about your lot. I love you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
You'll be listening to Fabian's Hollywood with Fabian Fanboy.